Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. Got some big CPI inflation news up to 7.9%. Boy, oh boy, we'll have to see if my kind of quasi prediction actually comes true that I went over on that whiteboard video a couple weeks ago where I thought the CPI would actually come down. Not to be fair to me, not right now in Q3 or in Q4. And that was prior to the Russia-Ukraine deal. So that might give me a little bit of an excuse, but I'll stick to it. I'll say that my base case is that CPI comes down a bit in Q3, Q4 from where it was prior. Now, I'm not saying that I didn't say that CPI wouldn't go up between the whiteboard video and Q3 or Q4. So, but regardless of my quasi predictions or whatever, let's get into what is actually happening right now. Going over to CNBC, and like we said earlier, inflation rises to 7.9% as measured by the CPI, the government, as you guys know. In real life, it's a lot higher than that, as food and energy costs push prices to highest in more than 40 years. And if we once we go through kind of how they're measuring this, you'll see that this is completely bogus. I mean, it's up, sure, but there's no way it's close to 7.9%. But anyway, based on the government's numbers here, the CPI went to 7.9, as we said, excluding food and energy. So core CPI, 6.4%. Gas, groceries, shelter, biggest contributors to CPI gain as auto prices eased. And remember, guys, auto prices eased. What did they do to the CPI? If you guys saw that video, I think I did a couple live streams on it. I know I did a whiteboard video that they they changed the way that they measure CPI once again. And the change produced a number that is even lower than the previous CPI would have produced. It's amazing. Every single time they change the CPI, it mysteriously makes the number lower. And if you guys remember the details of that video, they shifted, or they kind of re-engineered. That was the word I was looking for. They re-engineered the weighting for all of the inputs to the CPI measurement. One of the re-engineered weighting metrics or inputs was auto prices. And they gave this a higher weighting. And you would say, well, why were they doing that? And I said, because they know that most likely auto prices will come down because they can't go up forever. And sure enough. So let's think this through. If the auto weighting was the same as it was prior to the change, I believe in January, then the CPI would not be 7.9. It would be higher than that. It'd be 8 or maybe even a little bit higher. So just an FYI, let's keep that in the back of our mind. And also let's notice what is going up, because they'll say, oh, well, you know, gas doesn't really matter because that's so volatile. Or they'll say shelter. Remember that going up. And as you guys know, that's not the price of rent. That's not the price of a house. That is the rent adjusted equivalent, I believe they call it, which is a completely bogus number where they just kind of basically take whatever measurement, they just kind of pluck it out of thin air. They say, oh, this works. We'll put this in here for shelter. And I believe, going back to January, that they added more weight to that input as well. And my rationale for that, or my assumption as to why they did that, is because the shelter is far easier to manipulate. And then again, auto prices, they give that more weight because that's likely to come down. So we'll get into this a little bit more in detail throughout the article. Workers' paychecks fell further behind as inflation-adjusted earnings dropped 0.8% in February, contributing to a 2.6% decline over the past year. And keep in mind, this is based on the CPI number. So if earnings dropped by, if earnings have dropped by 2.6% this year, when you adjust for inflation, earnings, I should say, incomes or paychecks, wages, that's in the real world, that's probably closer to 10%, I would say, maybe 7%, 10%, right around there. And this is why people are pissed. And this is why Joe Biden's ratings are horrible, or his approval ratings. It's no mystery as to why he's probably the least favorite or least popular president since Jimmy Carter. And that goes back to what I say on this channel all the time, that inflation, especially gas prices, are political kryptonite, and which would be an incentive for the politicians that are very unpopular to create some sort of diversion where people really wouldn't be worried as much about inflation. I don't know what that diversion could be. Maybe, maybe like a war or something like that, or maybe like an invasion. If we could just, if we just had an invasion or a war, then, it'd take people's attention off of the problem here domestically. And it would maybe make them forget about how much they dislike me. Funny how that works, right? Anyway, getting back to the inflation and the CPI, this is the highest since we've seen since January of 1982. The month over month was 0.8%. Looks like expectations were 7.8% and a monthly rise of 0.7. As they said earlier, food prices up 1%. And then food prices, now they're breaking this down. We went over this in the whiteboard video as well. So food prices rose 1%. Food at home, i.e. groceries, 1.4. Fastest monthly gain since April 2020. Again, I would argue, and I think most of you who are actually buying groceries would argue, that the price increases are far higher than 1.4%. And listen, look at this. They give energy up 3.5. 3.5? What are you talking about? What? Energy? I mean, I guess they're including, I don't know what they're including, because maybe they are including electricity, but I would assume that's gone up. I don't know. You guys are paying bills in the United States right now. I am not. I just know that gas, whatever portion of the metric gas is of the overall energy metric, has gone up by what, 15-20%, maybe higher in some areas. I don't know how they're getting 3.5%, but again, we all know this number is completely bogus. Going down to shelter, which by the way is 1/3 of the CPI weighting, accelerated another 0.5% for a 12-month rise of 4.7. This is the most BS number. I mean, if you buy this number, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona to sell you. If you buy this number, you most likely bought the Cervasa sickness narrative the media was pushing. And you're most likely just gullible enough to fall for anything the media tells you as absolute truth set in stone. I mean, this is just obnoxiously false. Every single metric out there, you mine the MLS, which I think is a great tool. That would be on realtor.com. I think they're pegging it at 12-13%. You guys who actually pay rent, I'm sure your rent most likely went up more than that. If it didn't, you're lucky. And home prices obviously went up a lot more than 4.7% in the last 12 months. And then here is the part that I wanted to highlight again, that real inflation adjusted hourly earnings for the month fell 0.8%, contributing to a 2.6% decline over the past year. That even though the headline earnings rose 5.1%, so nominal earnings or nominal wages up 5.1%, but because of the CPI, it's a 2.6% decline, which if you had an accurate CPI, I think would give us a decline of probably 7, 8, 9, 10% possibly, which is why we're seeing a lot of social unrest. It goes back to what we were saying earlier. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman,
real estate, and Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level.
So now this really illustrates further how the Fed is in a very compromising position because of what's going on with Russia, Ukraine, how dependent the economy is on the stock market. But if they don't raise rates high enough to squash the rate of inflation, and when I mean squash, I'm not talking about bringing it down to 6%. I'm talking about bringing it back down to under 2%, or preferably zero. To get rates that high, it would just absolutely devastate the economy, which goes back to other videos that I have been talking about where I'm saying that, you know, this stock market going up, yeah, that's great. That's a lot of fun when it happens. The real estate market, the price of your house doubling and tripling. Yeah, that's really fun. It gives you a lot more purchasing power. But there's a cost to that benefit. And the cost is that we create bigger and bigger bubbles that at some point will have to implode, and taking down the U.S. economy with it, and therefore purchasing power. And at some point in time, we're going to have to go back to consuming what we produce, or consuming at a level of production, as opposed to consuming far, 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 far more than we produce. And that's going to lead to some serious economic pain, to say the least. And another thing that what's happening in Russia and Ukraine really highlights to me is how this dependency, or this dependence on asset prices, really makes us extremely vulnerable. I mean, as far as from a geopolitical standpoint, look at what Russia did to prop up the ruble. They increased interest rates to 20%, 20, the central bank. Just what would happen if the United States needed to do something? I don't know if it's prop up the dollar, or they just needed to do something to combat a geopolitical problem that required raising interest rates. There's no way we could do it. We couldn't do it, because we would devastate the economy probably worse than the devastation of whatever geopolitical problem we had. And so people really need to get their head around this. And it all goes back to what Thomas Sowell teaches us. There's no solutions. There are only trade-offs. And if the stock market is going up, there are trade-offs. So you understand the benefit. What is the cost? That's what we really need to ask ourselves. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your day, your afternoon. I would make sure that you've got a little bit of gold or silver if you don't already. And I would make sure that you've got something, whether it's a Rolex watch, a diesel truck, some Bitcoin, something outside of the banking system. Because another story that I didn't mention here is they're freezing the bank accounts of all these Russian billionaires, just like they did the truckers. And they froze the truckers' account yesterday. Today it's the Russian billionaires. Tomorrow it'll be you and me. And so this is just the reality of the world that we live in. So we've got to always remember that those dollars that we have, that we think we have, they're not ours. They're the banks. What's in our account is simply an IOU. When you deposit money at a bank, you are giving your money, your dollars, to the bank. That's the contract. You're lending it to them, or you're giving it to them is probably a better way of looking at it. And they don't have to give it back if they don't want to. If you are somehow in their crosshairs, they won't give it back, regardless of if it's yours or private property or rule of law that you want to believe that you have in the United States. It's all just an illusion. So again, make sure that you've got some purchasing power outside the banking system. All right, guys, as always, make sure also that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you on the next video.